Brother Kaleo, could you get the two outside light switches for me, please? Thank you. And then also, yes. Tonight I want to speak about our creation seminar that we concluded exactly a week ago. We've never really reported on a work like this before, and I just thought it would be good for you to know everything that went on and how it compared, at least in attendance, with last year's seminar with Brother Dave Miller on the silencing of God and so forth. As you probably know, our culture has a problem with the first verse of the Bible, which Corbin just read for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a major point of controversy in American, or I'll even say in Western culture, because I want to include Western Europe and so on in this. And as a result of the world now as a whole not accepting what is said there, creation is rarely taught in any level of the public school system, which, of course, I think is very sad. And it has affected many other segments of our society that I don't really want to take the time to get into this evening. But because our culture has a problem with the first verse of the Bible, they have a problem with the rest of the verses of the Bible. And that makes sense to me. When I understand that someone doesn't accept the truth of Genesis 1:1, why should they accept the truth of other passages that speak about, well, like Romans chapter 1? And Paul discusses how homosexuality is against nature. It does not surprise me that those two things, the acceptance and the promotion of evolution and homosexuality, are going together. You could also look at it this way. If someone has a problem with some other passage in the Bible or some other teaching in the Bible, they just don't see how it could be true. Listen more carefully and you might find out that they have problems with the opening passage of the Bible, because again, they go hand in hand. So what should the church do about this? What is our purpose for being here? Are we just supposed to sit back and lament? I think some Christians, that's all they want to do, but not me. And I hope not this church. Is it a Goliath we're facing? No doubt. But the story of Goliath that I read about in the Bible, Goliath lost. And David, and that's who we are, won. And our David is Christ. And I know that eventually he wins. And I want to be on the winning side, and I want you to be on the winning side too. So we need to do whatever we can do, knowing that the creator of the universe is behind us. God and one person make a majority. I firmly believe that. I think that's taught from Genesis to Revelation, and we need to live in that way. So, as a result, one of the things that I kind of talked with Nathan, I suppose, and then we talked with our shepherds here, and then we presented it to the men of the congregation, and it went from there, that in 2005 we wanted to start having creation seminars. And of course, our second one was in 2007, and then, as you know, we had one this year in 2009. And as you've already heard me say, in those intervening years, we're having seminars on other controversial topics. And I want you to know this as well. I know that if we just have speakers come in and they keep covering the same stuff that previous speakers have given, then it can be repetitive and we might even find it boring or something, although I don't. But what we plan on doing from this point on is asking our speakers to address specific topics so there won't be mere repetition from seminar to seminar. So obviously the next one we'll have is in 2011. But what we want to say to the world, I honestly believe all begins with the opening lines of the book of Genesis. For if there is no God and we have not been created, then who is Jesus Christ? That whole thing is a fraud. And if there is no Jesus Christ and he's a fraud, then there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, there's no judgment. So let's eat, drink, and be merry. Paul uses that argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But if there is a God, and he did create all things, including us, then I know that the story that's revealed in the Bible is true. That we have sinned, and by that sin we have fallen short of the glory of God, but there's hope for us, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. That he made the means available for us to have our sins forgiven, so that when the resurrection does come, and there is a resurrection coming, according to what the God and Creator of the universe has revealed, then I can stand before him and see him. Can you imagine what that day will be like when you finally see God himself and Jesus at his right hand? And he wants an accounting from you of how you lived here? And because you've been saved in the blood of Christ, you can give an account of the good and holy life that you have lived. But let's look again at Genesis 1, and I'll have it up here on the screen. And this time I want to take you down through verse 5. Moses wrote, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Brethren, that's where it all begins. And when we have creation seminars, we're trying to get our world, as well as getting ourselves, to think clear back to the beginning. Because that's what the gospel accounts do with us. What about John? When you open up the gospel according to John, he begins the way Genesis 1 began. In the beginning, he says, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And God was the Word. So when we preach Jesus, we have to preach the beginning. And at one time, our society accepted what these five verses say. But our society does not accept that anymore. So we have to go back to square one and convince them of the truth of this passage. Now, as you know, when you read the Bible, it reveals some amazing things. But maybe not so amazing to us anymore because we read them all the time. There's the creation of all things by the mere spoken Word of God, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That sort of thing. There is God flooding the entire world with water. There is God parting water, the Red Sea, that the children of Israel might go through it and escape from the pursuing Egyptians. There is Naaman being told to dip seven times in the Jordan River that his sin, or not, that his leprosy might be cleansed, his body cleansed of leprosy. And of course, there's the virgin birth of Jesus. And how many more miracles are recorded in the Scripture? Truly amazing things. But when you and I read them, we just think, oh, well, yeah, of course. Because we can accept what the first verse of the Bible says. But the world, I've talked with many people who, when they read those things, they're like, you've got to be kidding me. How is that possible? But as I speak to them, I realize that the reason that this woman has a problem with the virgin birth of Christ is because she doesn't realize that God has created all things. If God can speak the earth into existence, let me tell you something, a virgin birth is no problem for Him. Jesus walking on water is no problem. You follow what I'm saying? So many people do not believe what you and I so readily and so easily believe. So my thinking is, if you can believe the first sentence, then you can believe the rest of the sentences in the Bible. I have no problem with accepting anything that the Bible says. And that's because when I was a teenager, when I was 18 years old, and I was first exposed to Scripture, and I started reading it, I accepted what it said. It was like, wow, this is fascinating. And my belief did not stop at that point. And I believe our creation seminars challenge people. We have had evolutionists at our seminar. We had them at this past one. At every lecture, I sat in back. And at one point, I saw a man that I knew was an evolutionist off to my left, and every once I would watch him, and I could see how he was reacting to the speech. And by the way, he ordered all the CDs of the lectures. Now, let's talk more just about the mechanics of the seminar. You know, if you came in that door or someplace, beloved Sister Betty tried to give you a registration form as well as a flyer advertising next year's seminar on Islam. And we'd really like everyone to fill these out, even just so that we know how people heard about the seminar, and including you. I know you're members here and all that kind of stuff, but I think if other people, especially our visitors, see you, you know, everyone filling something out, they'll be more inclined to do so. But I figured, I didn't really talk with Nathan about this. We talked a lot about numbers, but I didn't really talk with him about this one here. But tried to figure out how many different people came to the seminar. And, you know, I figured at least 150. I don't know, maybe even 200. I'm not really sure. But if we take that figure 150, about one-fifth of those people turned in these registration forms. And what they put on there is valuable, valuable information. Okay, I'll be talking more about that a little bit. Phone calls. Even before the seminar called, we started getting phone calls. From not just in Grants Pass, but from outside Grants Pass. Even clear as far as Coos Bay and other places, people were calling and I was talking to them. And they're telling me that they were coming or that they couldn't come if they wanted the CDs or tapes or something of that nature. And people were calling because they either saw a television commercial or heard it on the radio or they were driving down Savage Street and saw our banner out there, or they drove down 6th Street and saw the banner hanging over 6th Street. I think we got more calls than in the past. Why this year, I don't know. This is the first time we've done a television commercial here, but we've had those other three things. But it was good to get that. Just people expressing some kind of interest. Now, many people said things to me, and I'm sure they did to Nathan and perhaps to others, non-members, that were valuable. So some came verbally, but some were written down. And let me give you some of the things that people had written down on the registration forms. Thanks. One person, it was like kind of a lengthy paragraph actually, said that they wanted to donate some DVDs to us on the creation-evolution controversy because she thought they were really good and thought we would benefit if, and so on. So here's someone who's wanting to help us. One person said, excited about the Islam seminar. Thanks for hosting this seminar. Thank you. Keep up the good work. And someone wrote, very interesting. Of course, I can't remember everything that people said to me, but a lot of people were very pleased with what they heard when they were here with us. Concerning the attendance, what I want to do, as you can tell, the blue will represent last year, and the green will represent this year. So on our opening session of Friday night, last year we had 84, this year 105. Of that 105, about 30 were Savage Street members. And so I thought to myself, wow, if all of you had come, where would we have put everybody? So maybe it's a good thing you didn't come that night. later that evening at the second session, you can see it just dropped down one person. Last year it stayed the same. On Saturday, we were still higher, the difference of 67 last year, 78 this year. Then before the dinner break, 64 versus 80 for this year. And then after dinner, you can see how we just kept on increasing in numbers on Saturday, which I thought was interesting. Sunday, though, our numbers came down. For what would be our Bible class, you can see 96 versus 71, 126 versus 106, and then 96 versus 70. But that's telling you, at least like on Friday night, and I think most of the Friday and Saturday was the same, how many visitors we had. How many people outside this congregation are interested in what's going on here? I found that to be very encouraging. And concerning our visitors, we had them from three states: Washington, Oregon, and California. Now, Nathan told me, well, we actually had a guy here from Kentucky, which is true, but I don't think he came here just for our seminar. So I thought, well, I don't know if I'll include that one. But he was staying with some family, I believe, with some members from J Street. And so he came and benefited from that. Now, look at all the different places from those three states that our visitors came from. Vancouver, Clackamas, Eugene, Springfield, Gold Beach, Powell Butte, you know, on the east side, Grants Pass, of course, Central Point, Medford, Yreka, California, Montague, California, and then plus we had calls from Medford and Coos Bay, actually an email from Medford, where they wanted our CDs. And this woman in Medford that emailed me saw our television commercial, which I didn't know if there was going to be played there. So I thought it was just going to be here in Josephine County. So that was, in my mind, a great benefit there. We had, and again, this is one thing that Nathan and I, we talked so much. We had an evaluation meeting on Monday, I think it was. But we didn't actually sit down and start to count together all of our community visitors that we had. And I came up with at least 24, perhaps more. People who are not members of the church who came to our seminar. And my question is, what other congregation in the Great Pacific Northwest can say we're pulling in those kind of numbers, as far as percentage-wise, of community people? That's who we want to reach, is it not? I've been to many gospel meetings that are designed for community people, and no one from the community comes. So to me, that was quite a highlight. And Nathan, if you think that number was higher... Yeah. 48, he says. It may have been. I mean, there were several whole families. You know, over here we had one that took up almost the whole pew. Two or three times the last several pews, almost the whole pew filled up by people who are not church members anywhere. Now, we did have requests for recordings, of course. That's on the back side of the registration forms. Two people wanted tapes. 21 wanted CDs, which I believe is the highest request we've ever had before. And many people, when they found out that these things are available online on our website, grantspasschurchofchrist.com, said, oh, okay, they didn't want anything. They said, I'll just get it from off the computer. They can make their own CDs from it or just listen to it on their computer. So how do people learn about our seminar? Well, this is what they had to fill out on their registration form. Either a flyer posted in town, flyer at your church, read about in a church bulletin, flyer in the mail, the commercial on KJO, the commercial on TV, which, you know, that was on all kinds of television stations. They gave me a list, Charter Media did, and I thought, wow, it's going to be on just about everything. KDove, which I believe is a Medford-based radio program, they did a public service announcement for me, for us, I mean, repeatedly. The banner in front of the building here, the banner over downtown, or did you hear from it by a friend or from our website? They could also check other, and some people did. For example, one man said that he didn't receive it at his church, but he was visiting another church 100 miles from here and saw our flyer. And so came down and from Eugene or Springfield, I don't remember which now, brought other people with him, and the other people who came with him asked me, do you think next year we could bring our motorhome and set up in your parking lot? Well, I think so. I'm sure that would be no problem. Even the church page write-up on Friday. You know, usually on Fridays I'm down here all by myself and I just busy at work, hardly any phone calls, but not this past Friday. Two Fridays ago, just before the seminar. One phone call after another. Just because people saw the write-up that the paper did for us in the Daily Courier. And here's what I thought was interesting. One man who is not a member of this church, but who comes here regularly, told one of his friends about this seminar. The friend came to the seminar, was so excited about it, that during one of the breaks, he got out his cell phone, called another friend of his, and said, you got to come down. Immediately, the friend dropped everything and came down. He liked it so much that he didn't want to leave and go home for dinner. So he sat there in the pew about where Lynn Buell is sitting right now, called his wife on his cell phone and said, it was almost like, Mommy, can I please stay here and eat dinner with these people? And he was back there and had dinner with us. But of all those avenues, the three things that got the most people, interestingly, were people checking flyer at your church. That was the highest one. I was really surprised by that. In fact, I would say close to half of those people responding said flyer at your church. They got a flyer in the mail, because we maintain a list. And a lot of you were involved in that big mail. I remember one Wednesday night, I'm in my office preparing for class, and I came out, and here's, I don't know, 2 or 3 dozen people out here in the fellowship hall, and you're all folding these flyers and stuffing them in envelopes. I was really touched by that. Well, those did a lot of good, or people just heard about it from a friend. But literally everything on that form was checked. Not one thing went unchecked. So that tells me that our widespread advertising reached many people. And for those of you that did not attend, or maybe you couldn't attend the whole thing, Brother Eric Lyons spoke on several subjects. He first addressed, and I'm going to take this in order that he spoke on them, he addressed the creation-evolution controversy, how design demands a designer. He talked about evolutionary hoaxes. The poster children of evolution, and both Nathan and I were not knowing what he was going to speak on that, but he was right. Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are the things that are hooking our kids on evolution. And a lot of our kids are thinking, wow, if the Bible's not right on this issue, is it right on anything else? And that's, again, why I believe this is so important. So then in the next lecture, he addressed the issue of dinosaurs even more. He talked about science and the age of the earth, and that was on Sunday. And then Sunday worship, he talked about, you know, is the creation 6 days or 6 billion years? In other words, addressing the subject of theistic evolution. A lot of people want to blend the two together, which both, if you're a strong creationist and a strong evolutionist, which I take the former, of course, both of us say, hey, you can't mix these two together. They just don't go together. And, of course, in the evening, Brother Lyons spoke on the fruits of atheism. Normally, he wouldn't have done a Sunday evening message, but he did because he couldn't get a flight out of Medford on Sunday at the appropriate time, so he got one out like at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that on Monday. Putting on a seminar. It's just like when I see Nathan putting together the Leadership Training for Christ work, or a Vacation Bible School, or even a worship service like this. You know, a lot of times we walk in, doors already unlocked, we sit down, we listen to worship service and go home, but we don't realize how many people behind the scenes are working to put something like this on, like this seminar, which probably doesn't have as many people involved in it as like the LTC. But there were meetings, of course, with the shepherds of the congregation, with the men. Nathan and I met constantly, especially in the last couple of months. We had many meetings, and we talked about what to do, this and that, and so on. Of course, you got to make arrangements for the speaker. As far as we had to discuss the topics with him, there's the flight arrangements and his motel stay. He stayed at the Redwood Motel, for example. Making arrangements for his meals and just general hospitality to him. The registration order forms had to be created, which Sister Dara did on that. The advertising had to be created, which I did, I think, all of that. The flyers mailed, as I mentioned to you earlier, and that was a huge group effort. The Saturday meal, and what an impressive thing that is. To me, even if we didn't do the seminar, and we just came together on a Saturday to do a meal like that, wow, Pat and the sisters who helped her, and the kids who served and everything, our visitors were impressed with that. Look what your young people are doing. They thought that was great, and I did too. Anyways, of course, we had a bookstore here, and that all had to be arranged and set up. Someone had to clean the building. Someone was passing out the registration order forms. The tapes had to be recorded and then duplicated. CD duplication has to be done. Recordings posted online. The speaker introduction and just the general running of the seminar. Air conditioner has to be turned on. The building unlocked, locked, lights turned on, gates open, free material made available, the airport transportation, greeting visitors, answering and making phone calls, hooking up the lapel mic and recording such as I have on right now, and information to the paper for Friday's write-up. And I may have missed something. But that's how much goes on. You know, when you show up here Friday or Saturday or even Sunday, a lot of things have gone on. Many people have been involved in all of this. So how important is this? Our kids are being bombarded. The world is bombarding our kids. And I think Brother Eric Lyons did an excellent job when he was talking about the poster children of evolution on how the world is just inundating and soaking the minds of our young children with evolution. And that has to be countered. And not only countered, but then the truth be taught. Well, someone might say, well, why not then have something for our kids? Why do us adults who already believe in this stuff have to? Well, in my mind, we need to be prepared ourselves. For one thing, we don't want to be led astray, but also so we can just help them. And be prepared to give an answer to those kids when they ask us. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, I need to be ready to give a defense to anyone who asked me a question about my faith. And that includes some 9-year-old kid who comes up and says, where do dinosaurs fit in the Bible? Or, how do I know there is a God and He created me? Or I've had teenagers and college students come up to me and say, you know what, I just saw this in this science magazine about this fossil discovery. What do you say about that? So that's why I study up on this subject all the time, and I subscribe to magazines and do all kinds of buy books and so on. Now, a couple of websites that I want to mention to you that are very important are these two right here, apologeticspress.org. Of course, you should be familiar with Apologetics Press. We make their material available, usually in this back table in the foyer, but right now we've got a whole table set up by Nathan's office, just full of this material. And that's where Brother Eric Lyons, of course, works. But also this other one, creationistcompany.com. You know who runs this website? A couple of kids. And they were here at our seminar. I forget how old the oldest one is. But I think he's 10 years old. Do you know, Nathan? How old?
I think he's 11.
11. Okay. Let me show you these websites. Okay, this one right here, well, let me go back to Apologetic Express. In case you're not familiar with it, this is their website. This is what the way it looks today. I'm actually getting a feed off the internet right now. And of course, you can see Brother Kyle Butt has an article there about does God accept human sacrifice? Then there's Brother Eric reporting on what's going on AP and these Bible bullets, which I think they intend to go in bulletins. And bullet makes it sound like it would be short, but it's not short at all. I mean, you can see how long the article is. So I wish it was a little bit shorter. But there's all kinds of neat stuff on here. For example, a lot of their books that you buy, you can go to their website and get them for free. And download it onto your computer, those of you that have that means. For example, well, I didn't want to click on that one. That one's kind of big there. But anyways, you know, and it'll just, in time, it'll fill up on your computer. And if you want to print it out or just have it on your computer to read, I like to have books in person because I like to underline and make comments and do things like that. Okay, so just now I put 438 pages on my computer just now for free. Didn't have to pay them anything for it. Now, this other one, the Creationist Company, done by a boy, he called himself the president, 11 years old, and then his younger brother. And I thought this is interesting. A lot of this stuff is just stuff that you might think adults would write, but this is coming from an 11-year-old kid. And I've been exploring some of these different things they have here. The erosion of evolution. I can't remember what that one is there. Okay, just various things that they're talking about there. I just think it's great that here's these kids who are interested in evolution and creation. And so much so that they're willing to run a website. And, of course, it's designed for kids, but still, I think you might enjoy looking at it if you looked at it yourself. All right, so as we come to an end of my report here, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. And we need to understand that our God in heaven made time. Listen again to what Genesis 1, verse 5 says. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God made all things, including time. Now look at this rhyme that I found about time. God made time to provide us free choice, so we willingly lend him our voice. Then as agents of his, we can tend to God's biz. It's as simple as that, girls and boys. We can have all the lights on now. So, why did God create all things, and why do we have this time on earth? It's a time of choice. It's a time where God wants to see, what do we want? And by the way we live, and by what we accept and reject, we tell him what we want. And so, we make the choice to stand up to the world and say that it is false doctrine to affirm that there is no God and that we are here by chance, known as evolution. There is a God in heaven, and he loves us very much, and he created us. And he created all that we have here, and he provided many things for us to enjoy life, that the goodness of God might lead us to repentance. That's Romans 2, verse 4. He wants us to turn from the bad choices we've made and to choose him, because he's chosen us. And that day is coming in which there will be a time when he says, okay, it's all over. It's done. Everyone, you're coming up here to this thing called the judgment. And I'm not sure exactly how it will take place, but I'll just say for sake of argument, that he'll have a conversation with each of us. And we want to make sure that everyone here tonight and everyone in Josephine County and anywhere else we can extend our influence, that when they appear before him at that judgment, they'll be able to say, "My Father," instead of, "This is my judge." And they're filled with fear and terror. We don't want that for anyone. We want it to be a welcome sight. But the way that'll happen is right now, for you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, for you to turn away from those bad choices and make the right choices that He guides us in His written word, the Bible, and then to be immersed in water such as in this baptistry right here behind me. And when we do that, He then promises that He will wash away all of our sins. If you have a need for that, come forward now as we stand and sing.